Okay, our next case is number 19-1335, Shyrock Contents Factory Company versus Spin Master. Okay, Ms. Preston.
May it please the court, Hillary Preston for Shyrock, the appellant here.
The pronunciation is Shyrock?
I pronounce it with a hard CH, Shyrock.
Shyrock.
But I'm sure okay. In Korean there's a more nuanced pronunciation.
Which okay.
Shyrock. I did not speak Korean, unfortunately. Right. But yes, Shyrock will suffice for our question, certainly. Your Honors, I'd like to begin with the question of standing that was raised in the opposition brief by Spin Master. I'm actually not sure if Spin Master continues to press this point, given that the record has now been supplemented with clear evidence that there is standing in
this case. Ask them.
Yes, I trust you will, but I'd like to address the standing first and hit a couple of key points there.
I'm not sure that you need to do that. No.
I will be happy
to
skip the standing point. On the merits here, Your Honors, we're sort of interesting to sit through the last discussion. We're now switching to toys. We're talking about a patent that issued in 2007 for a transformable toy that opens and closes and reveals something inside. Shyrock challenged all claims in that patent in an IPR petition. Two of the challenged claims were, in fact, invalidated. This appeal addresses the failure to invalidate the remaining claims. The technology is, as it suggests, fairly simple. We're talking about mechanical designs of something that opens and reveals something inside. The prior art is also extraordinarily simple, and it happens to be from about three decades earlier. So the key pieces of prior art, and the one single piece that I will focus on in most of my argument, is Maruyama 693. Which is a Japanese patent that also discusses a spherical toy that opens and reveals, in that case, a robot inside. The English translation is at Appendix 770. The PTAB below relied on Maruyama 693 in finding that it anticipated claims 5 and 6, the ones that were invalidated. There is striking overlap between the claim limitations of 5 and 6 and in the claims that were not actually invalidated. We have in claims 5 and 6, we have a first movable member that was found to be disclosed in Maruyama 693. We have a second
5 was invalidated, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Claims 5 and 6 were invalidated. 5 is the independent claim. 6 adds that one of the revealed surfaces has an image on it. So those are the two claims that were invalidated. Both of those claims involve the first movable member, the second movable member, a coupler in between that allows the relative movement as between the two pieces, and also involves the revealers, which, not surprisingly, their job is to reveal the thing inside. And as I said, claim 6 then adds that the thing revealed must include an image on the surface. And all of those limitations were found present in Maruyama 693 under a 102 analysis. Those findings of the PTAB are not challenged before this court. And I think that's critically important because the limitations in the remaining claims are strikingly similar. The first two claims that I would like to talk about that are the other independent claims that the patent begins with, claims 1 and 3. And the dispute here is in whether about the word includes. And the Spin Master has made an argument about that there's a late claim construction issue being raised on appeal. That is really not truly the case. As we can point to the evidence in the record, that this issue of whether includes can be equated with connected is present from throughout the IPR proceeding. The final written decision from the board did not formally construe includes, but it did refer to includes, meaning form a part of, is the language that they use.
And your position here is that connected is sufficient.
Correct.
And that's Mr. Hurdle's position.
Correct.
Right.
Yes. You find support for that in the abstract of the 504 patent.
Of course, Mr. Hurdle had a, to me, somewhat aggressive, shall we say, definition of connected. As far as he was concerned, connected meant if you move one part, then the second part also moves, if I recall correctly. In other words, if you, to take an example from a different area, if you, that the, on that theory, the front bumper of an automobile would be connected to the rear bumper, because if you put a hook on the front bumper and pull it, the whole automobile, including the rear bumper, is pulled. That struck me as quite an unusual construction of connected.
That may be fair, Your Honor. I actually don't think for claims 1 and 3 in the anticipation by Maruyama 693, there's any dispute that the revealers are connected to the display member. I don't think we'll hear from Spin Master, and it's not in their briefing.
Has Mr. Hurdle construed those terms?
The
well, connected to, you say.
Yes, I don't think
but,
there's
but
any
not included. You're,
right.
Okay.
The dispute is over included.
Right.
I don't think there's any dispute that they are, in fact, connected. And visually, when we look at the figures of Maruyama 693, it's not difficult to conclude that the arms are, in fact, attached to, connected to the torso. And that's what we're talking about here. So
the torso is the display member?
The torso is the display member, correct.
Why would it be true in general that connected equates to include? My computer is connected to a server. My computer is not included in the server.
Yeah, understood. That is the language that's consistently used in the specification of the 504. So I was going to draw Your Honor's attention to appendix at 133, where there is a discussion of the first and second, and this is an abstract of the 504, the first and second movable members include at least one revealer. And then it goes on to explain that the revealer is movably connected to the first and second movable
members.
Right,
so I mean, sometimes the language of connection can be part of what can be in the context in which something is included, so that, you know, the button on my jacket is connected by a, you know, a semi-rotatable thread. And I would say, actually, I could say maybe the button is part of the jacket or maybe the button is not part of the jacket. But in this context, you're talking about essentially half the egg, that the abstract, right? Half the egg includes something, and it's connected. That sentence is, the point of the sentence is to say it's movably connected.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another thing to say that a very specific subcomponent, the torso, includes the arms just because there's a connection between them.
Understood, Your Honor. But I think that is what the patent contemplates, is that language includes is consistently used in the way that it means connected. And in fact, the board found that in a slightly different context in talking about...
The patent certainly contemplates that the arms in the figure in the patent are connected to the torso, right?
Correct, Your Honor. Exactly in the same way that they are in Maruyama 693.
Why does that imply that the arms are included in the torso?
I think the
that would be an odd thing to say.
It may well be an odd thing to say, but I think it is how the language is used in the patent. When you look at the figures in the 504 patent and the discussion of what the display member is in the 504 and the pieces that are connected to or included in, the things that are rotatably connected to that, there are direct parallels between that and the exact same figures and discussion in Maruyama 693. And the point that I was going to make about the board's prior finding the board has, in a slightly different context, equated that they're connected to can actually mean integrally formed structures. And that's the board's conclusion in Appendix 337. And Spin Master actually agreed with that statement in Appendix 417. So you do see a series of places in which connected to is equated with includes. With respect to the arguments that are made that this is a new issue that ought to be disregarded on appeal, the Spin Master points to the Google case and the Photometrics case, both of which are very distinguishable. In the Google case,
why don't you address claims 7 and 8 in the image issue before we run out of time here?
Happy to. In claim 7 and claim 8, the only thing that is in dispute is whether, again, we're talking about Maruyama 693 in a direct anticipation argument. We're talking about whether there's a disclosure of the presence of an image on one of the surfaces that's revealed. And interestingly, Claim 6, which was invalidated, also has an image on a surface that was revealed. So,
Of course, we don't necessarily have to accept the proposition that the board was correct on its disposition of 5 and 6. I mean, we look independently at the question of whether the claims that were disallowed are, in fact, properly disallowed. Even if the board made a mistake with respect to 5 and 6, that's irrelevant.
No disagreement that we look independently at the claims that are before the court on this appeal. My only point in connecting the two is that it raises the question of whether or not there is substantial evidence to support the board's finding. So the board looked at the same evidence in Maruyama 693, found that there was an image disclosed, and somehow with respect to claims 7 and 8, found that there was not an image disclosed in the exact same piece of prior art.
So my understanding is you're relying on specification here with respect to the feet, and you're saying that if you move down the foot, then you have an image of the leg and the foot, right? And so that has to be within the image language of the claim. And with respect to the prior art, I understand the theory about the movement of the head. Once you move the head up, you can see there's a head. That's an image that's similar to the foot thing in the specification. But this requires a plurality of images. Where do you find the other images?
I believe, Your Honor, the claims 7 and 8 require at least one image. The plurality of revealers is the language that's used in claims 1 and 3. And claims 7 and 8 require just a revelation of at least one image. So whether it's the head or whether it's a foot, which the specification does talk about sufficing as an image, either of those would be sufficient.
Where is the best specification passage about the foot?
Your Honor, in Appendix 139, mm-hmm. In column 4 of the patent, lines 60 through 62, and this is a quotation from those lines of the specification, the revealer includes a surface having an image such as feet. You also see in column 3, lines 64 to 65, one surface having an image such as a face. So not the feet, but another instance where the thing that is revealed is part of the figurine that is contained within the revealed structure.
Okay, you want to save your rebuttal time?
I'll reserve the rest of my time. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, Ms. Bailey.
May it please the court. You mentioned earlier that you may have questions for me on standing. Do you want to begin with that, or would you like to?
Are you continuing to press standing?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why?
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 Because the matters with respect to the Trinity McCarr toy line, which is the toy line that Troy Rock says that it intends on selling, have been resolved.
Now, there were various claims of confidentiality in the briefs with respect to this general area.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is there an understanding among the parties as to how far you can go in this field.
In the declaration that was submitted with the reply brief, there is a paragraph that talks about the concrete plans to sell the product that is not confidential. That's paragraph 10. And then there's a paragraph 11, which provides some further detail that does remain confidential and under seal. So I think we can speak generally about the concrete right. plans that are part of the declaration without going into the details.
Okay, well, as long as everybody's on board with that.
And I will try to be cognizant of that. Perhaps my counsel could let me know if she feels that I'm overstepping, but I am going to try to be cognizant of that confidential information. So the Turney McCarr toy line that Troy Rock says they intend on selling, all claims regarding that toy line were resolved via the Mattel litigation. So just as quick background that is in our briefing, Spin Master sued Mattel in 2018 on the Turney McCarr toy line. Mattel was a distributor for Troy Rock and Sana Kong of the Turney McCarr toy line in the United States. That litigation has now settled, and all matters regarding any past sales of the Turney McCarr toy line are now resolved.
What about future sales?
Does not address future sales. So let's talk about future sales. With respect to the future sales, Troy Rock has three reasons for why they believe they have standing. The July 2015 letter, these alleged imminent sales, and the denial of a covenant not to sue. So let's talk about the letter first. This letter from Spin Master was sent to Sana Kong, not Troy Rock. Sana Kong is not a party to this proceeding. They were not a party to the IPR, and they were not an RPI in the IPR. Per Troy Rock's
I think it would be helpful if you just gave us an overall statement of why there is no standing. Why is there no standing, given that they are a competitor and that they have specific plans?
Because we don't know what those specific plans are. The declaration has generalized allegations of selling the Turney McCarr toy line, but we don't know what the specifications of that toy line are. Over the years, the products have changed. There's approximately 25 to 30 different products in the McCarr toy line. Not all of those products were asserted in the Mattel litigation on the unrelated patents. We also don't know what the specifications are going to be for any future products.
But aren't there toys in that line that you believe would infringe the claims that are involved here?
So in the Mattel litigation, we did not assert the 504 patent. And I think that's notable.
Well, there's that's fine, but I'm asking a question. Is there any question but that, in your view, these toys would infringe the 504 patent?
So I want to be careful about divulging attorney-client information, but let me say that that analysis has not been undertaken. And the reason is that we don't have any information on what that toy line might look like. And we did not have a desire in the Mattel litigation when we could have asserted the 504 patent against the toy line. There's no indication from Spin Master to Troy Rock that they intend on selling in the future.
What do you mean you could have?
Because we were already bringing suit. It would have, from just kind of a circumstantial point of view, if we're already bringing a lawsuit on three other patents against a major toy company on the same toy line, it makes sense that if we're going to assert our patents, we're going to assert all the patents that we want to assert.
Because you didn't sue them, we can assume that there's no case or controversy?
That's not exactly what I think. That's not the point that I want you to take away from it. But I do think it's a factor into the analysis. And this is an analysis that requires many weighing of the factors. But another thing that I think is important here is that there's no evidence that Troy Rock is the entity that would actually be selling the product in the U.S. In other words, we have no evidence that Troy Rock has any business in the U.S., that they have the ability to sell in the U.S.
Well, they produce the toys, right?
But Sana Kong...
Yes, they produce the toys.
From what I understand, Troy Rock is the toy developer, but Sana Kong is the distributor of the toys.
Okay, so they produce and design the toys?
I do believe that Troy Rock designs the toys. When you say produce, I'm assuming you mean manufacture?
Yeah.
I actually don't know. And it's been unclear from Troy Rock, and there's other briefing going on in other IPRs, what that relationship is. But if you read between the lines, and I invite the court to go read paragraph 11 of the declaration that is designated confidential. If you read between the lines, it looks to be carefully worded that there is an intermediate party between Choi Rock and what is going to happen in the United States. And we believe that party is... But Sino-Kong is not an entity. It's not a party to this lawsuit. If we were going to sue on the 504 patent, from what we understand, it would be against Sino-Kong because they are the distributor in the U.S. They're the company importing.
You could certainly sue the designer, couldn't you?
If they're not taking any activities in the United States, I'm not sure how we would have a claim.
If the products they're designed are being distributed here, you can't sue them?
But they're not importing or manufacturing or using or selling the products.
And you don't think that for Article III purposes, there's standing of the upstream foreign maker to challenge a patent that would harm its ability to sell to the downstream U.S. distributor?
That was not part of the briefing. We have not considered that question.
What do you think of it? What do you think about that? I mean, we have to consider that question. So,
okay, fair enough.
Therefore, you do.
If they're not an... Fair enough. If they're not the entity that is actually having the presence in the United States, then they're not performing any of the activities that would give rise to infringement in the mm-hmm. United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so there seems to be a disconnect between what Choi Rock is saying that they intend on doing versus what they actually say their related party somehow, Sino-Kong, is doing. I find that problematic. I think that Choi Rock, or that Sino-Kong, if we were to sue Choi Rock, would come back and say that we don't have the ability to sue them because they're not the actual company that is producing, selling, manufacturing.
But that might not be for Article III standing reasons. It might simply be because they don't come under Title 35, the provisions for liability, because they're not doing any of the things in the U.S. or the couple of foreign things that are covered.
Understood. But then shouldn't Sino-Kong have been listed as an RPI in the IPR? And I will...
Well, that has nothing to do with the standing issue.
Well, if they had listed... Choi Rock had listed Sino-Kong as an RPI in the IPR, I don't think we would be arguing a lack of standing here. They had their opportunity to bring in a company that they felt was related and harmed and potentially have an injury in fact, and they chose
not. I don't see how that can deprive them of standing if they have it.
But
there's no argument here that they failed to join a necessary party.
So I'm sorry, could you?
This case comes to us from the board mm-hmm. without that issue. There's no issue about a failure to name a real party in interest. The question is, do they have standing here to challenge the board's decision since they were the petitioner below?
So perhaps I can pivot away from the discussion of Sino-Kong versus Choi Rock and go back to the facts that we know that would grant them standing. And based on what we know then, all they have is the alleged imminent sales. But we don't know what those sales will be. And I will tell you, Your Honors, we have looked for those sales, and they should have happened by now, and we're not seeing them in the marketplace. The toy community and selling is a very complicated area. To get into brick-and-mortar sales, you have to approach a Target or a Walmart many months in advance. There's no evidence of that, and it's actually very difficult to get product onto Target shelf. You have to be a big player like Mattel or Hasbro. With respect to online sales, we're not seeing any online sales of the Turney McCarr toy line by Choi Rock.
Could you address the issue on the merits that we last were discussing with your colleague?
Sure.
Claim 7, and also, if you would, also address Claim 9.
Okay. With respect to Claims 7 and 8, this is Issue 2 in Choi Rock's briefing. So this ultimately comes down to a failure to map problem. In Claim 7, there is a limit.
Put aside the failure to map for a moment.
Okay.
If you look at the specification and the description of the feet, and you look at the prior art in terms of the movement of the head, it's exactly the same in terms of revealing an image. Moving the head up reveals an image of the head. Moving the feet down reveals an image of the feet, right?
That one particular discussion is, but I want to note a difference for you, Your Honor. Claim 7 has a different limitation than Claim 6. The limitations in Claims 2 and 6, which are dependent claims, are the same. But in independent Claim 7, the limitation is slightly different. And the board noted this in its opinion at APPX 27. And essentially said, even if we were going to give credence to the mapping in Claim 2, that still doesn't get us to a teaching of the limitation, because the limitations are different. And simply because there may be an image on a...
But what I'm asking, forget about the mapping, which is basically an argument that they didn't articulate this sufficiently before the board. I'm asking you, in comparing those two things, they're the same, right, in terms of the claims 7 and 9.
When the feet of Mariama are revealed, do I think it reveals an image? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
I haven't considered that question because, before you get frustrated with that response, I haven't considered it because it wasn't that. At least I'm acknowledging it. Because it wasn't Matt. And I'm usually on the petitioner sides in IPR. We're held to a really high standard on the mapping. And when you completely don't map a limitation whatsoever, this isn't a question of did they map adequately. It's completely missing. I don't, as a patent owner, have to get any further. But one thing I also,
If you could take it one step further, is there a difference?
There is an image. I would say that there is an image on the feet. But I would say, and I emphasize this, that the claim limitations are different between the two.
And what's the critical difference on which we could predicate a distinction saying, this is why claims 7/8 are unpatentable, notwithstanding the contrary conclusion with respect to 5 and 6.
Sure. And I would refer you to the board's decision at the appendix 27.
The difference is?
Because it's a revealer, and the definition, the claim construction for revealer from the IPR is that when it's revealed, you actually have to rotate to reveal, and that is not taught in the reference Mariama.
And so which there's is the not, design pat.
Yes, this one is on the design pat.
If you consider the design patent together with the prior art utility patent, it does show rotation, right?
That wasn't the ground presented, Your Honor.
No, but they argued it in relation. The ground was the design patent. But the question is, does the design patent show something that's rotatable? And the suggestion is, if you consider the design patent and the utility patent helps you understand that the design patent is showing something that's rotatable, as I understand it.
But per the board's opinion, you still don't have a teaching that it's going to be revealed to rotate. So the rotation reveals the image. And the board considered this exact discussion that you're asking me about.
Why don't you address the other merits issue?
On the includes.
Could claim 9, could you?
Yes, what do you, well, do you have a specific
the
question?
Coupled to the opposite, the coupler. And the attachment at opposite ends, mm-hmm. you say, not shown in the paper.
So I actually don't think that this is shown.
Okay.
So you pressed right, me no. earlier. I actually don't think that this is shown. So I think there's a failure to map limitation or all problem right, here right. too. But if you were to look at the rear view of the camera of the Mariama reference,
right.
It's difficult to tell because it's a design patent, but it's unclear where that kind of lower section that is called, I believe it's called the pack, where it connects to the coupler. It looks like it connects to the coupler in, I believe, Fig 2, but there are
Fig
other...
Fig 2 is the best.
There are other figures that when you try to, like, put the Mariama and sit there and think about, like, how would it be rotated back together... it doesn't quite match up, and it's unclear. I've actually spent a lot of time trying to think about how it would be connected. So I don't think that it is connected.
On Fig 2, the two connectors are those. It's hard to describe them because they aren't marked with numbers, of course. But those do appear to attach the upper and lower members, correct?
Yes.
If I hold it up, perhaps you can see it. The lower member, the upper member, and the two connectors.
Mm-hmm.
So the questions then would be, are they rotatably connected, and are they connected at opposite ends of the connector, right?
That is correct. That would be...
Now, which is it that you think, which are both? Are
I don't necessarily... Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I don't necessarily think that it's rotatably connected at the lower end. I see that connection there, but...
So in other words, you think it may well be the case that the connectors are fixed on the lower end and swivel only with respect to the upper end.
Yes, if I may use
like
my...
this, spot. Is that...
Exactly, if I may use my... I think the toy does this and closes in around
itself. Clamshell.
And not that.
Not a clamshell type structure. Okay.
I see that I'm out
Please
of time.
Sit down. I'd like you to address the display member includes limitation in claim one. It seems to me if you look at figure one of the patent, which does show arms and torso that would satisfy the claim limitation of claim one. What's the difference between that and the prior art?
So a couple of things, Your Honor. First, I think we have to be very careful to not compare the figs from the patent in suit to the figs from the reference. I think that is wholly improper, and that's something that Troy Rack has done repeatedly. But second of all, in the patent in suit, the 504 patent, the display member was described as the entirety of the figurine. It was not just the torso. And part of what's going on in claims 1 and 3 is that Troy Rack had to be very careful in its mapping. And so it mapped the display member.
We're getting back to the mapping again, but what is, in terms of comparing the figures, I understand your argument that it's improper, but the counter argument would be that figure one is described as being something that's within claim one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference between the two, right? I mean, it's just arms connected to the torso, arms connected to the torso.
I disagree, Your Honor, and if I may explain. The claim recites a display member. A display member includes revealers, and revealers connected to movable member. Now, the display member and the movable member are mapped by Troy Rock as the same structure, the torso of the body. But in the 504 patent, the movable members are those hemispherical structures that you see. But the display member is the entirety of the figurine. And so in the abstract, which...
It's described differently in the prior art, which seems to be the sole basis that I can see for the board's conclusion in this respect.
I would submit to Your Honor that the reference does not have movable members like the 504 patent has. Because the torso of the body in the reference has to satisfy... For Troy Rock's mapping, both the display member and the movable member, what happens is the mapping falls apart because there is no separate movable member per the claim.
That's not what the board said, right?
The board did determine, the board applied the analysis that the display member and the movable member are both met by the torso in the reference. And when I say torso, I mean that torso section.
The middle of the figurine.
Yeah, it's structural element one in the reference.
Okay, I think unless there are other questions, we're out of time. Thank you,
Your Honors.
Okay, Ms. Preston.
Thank you, Your Honors. I have just a few points to address from that discussion. Within Claim 9, there was a discussion there about whether or not the movable members were rotatably connected. The claim language is actually movably connected, which I think is important. I don't think there's any distinction that there are two pieces that open and close and are, in fact, movably connected. You can see that by comparing Figure 7
And here I'm talking about Maruyama 258, which is the design patent, comparing figure 7 with figures 11 and 12, which show that the legs have in fact moved. There's not a requirement of a separate type of movement like a rotation.
But doesn't the second movable member, for example, in 9, have to be movably connected to the opposite end of the coupler, which I would assume meant that the member must move vis-a-vis the coupler, not just vis-a-vis the first member.
If I understood the question, it was a perfect question. I want to make sure I'm following it. If I understood the question, the claim limitation does require that the second movable member be movably connected
to the
opposite end of the coupler. Right, that's the claim language.
And there has to be movement between the coupler and the second member, not simply between the second member and the first member.
Correct. Right. That's correct, yes. And I do think that you can see that from the comparison of the figures that I just went through, but I do understand Your Honor's question. If I could touch on just a few points in my limited time, one thing that was it's important for us to clarify here. There's been an introduction in the briefing and then made the point again today that the resolution of the Mattel litigation has somehow absolved the threat to Choyrock. Without going into information that is not in the record and certainly would be subject to confidentiality requirements, that's not accurate. That's not accurate. And that's really important for us to emphasize that point. Certainly, if that was accurate, that begs the question of why, when we asked for a covenant not to sue, they weren't willing to give it. There is an ongoing controversy there. The another point that I think is important to correct is that it's emphasized that there's no evidence that Choyrock is going to sell into the U.S. There's a discussion of all the Sonicon stuff. The evidence is actually fairly clear in paragraph 10 of the declaration that there will be sales in the U.S. So we do have that element that is discussed as being key to the standing dispute. And I see that I am now over my time.
Okay. Any other question? Okay. Thank both counsel. The case is submitted. That concludes our session for this morning.
All rise.